to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin. Bob Dancer is America's premier video poker writer and teacher. He's written 10 books, including Video Poker for the Intelligent Beginner and the best-selling Million Dollar Video Poker. He helped develop the computer software Video Poker for Winners, and in 2004, he was inducted into the Video Poker Hall of Fame. Richard Munchkin has been a professional Advantage player for over 30 years and is in the Blackjack Hall of Fame. His book, Gambling Wizards, Conversations with the World's Greatest Gamblers, is a testament to the many ways you can succeed at gambling. The goal of the show is that you'll be a more knowledgeable gambler tomorrow than you were yesterday. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
We're taping this show in late March 2016. I'm not sure when it'll actually be aired. Both Richard and I have some off time scheduled, and so we'll probably slot it into one of those time periods. Our guest today is Duncan, the webmaster of thepog.com. That's thepogg.com. This is an organization that, among other things, helps players recover money from online casinos who have done them wrong. Duncan, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Thanks very much. It's good to be with you.
All right. How did you get started with the POG, and what the hell does that name mean?
I was a player both online and offline for a good number of years. The traveling eventually got to me, and I wanted to have a more home-centered life. I looked at setting up another business related to gambling. What I saw in the market was a real gap for honest representation of players, fair treatment of players, and so I looked to set up a site that could assist players when they got into trouble online. As to what the name means, when I was setting up the site, we had the choice between going with a keyword focused marketing sort of generic name that nobody remembers, or choosing a brand name that was intended, that it would be more difficult to market on the search engines like Google, but was intended to be more memorable to players. So we went with the Players Online Gambling Guide, or the POG.
All right.
It is memorable. I'll give you that.
Thanks very much.
All right. Now, what is bonus hustling, and what does that have to do with what you do?
Well, if I'm honest about it, I don't really like the term bonus hustling. The word hustling has negative connotations. That's like a street corner con artist.
I used to call it bonus hunting.
I really far prefer that phrase, bonus hunting. Advantage player or bonus hunting, there's nothing ethically wrong with what you're doing, though many operators would disagree with that. The premise behind bonus hustling is that you use the promotional offers provided by online casinos to gain an advantage over the game, and you only ever play when you have an advantage. It doesn't have a lot to do with what we do just now. Don't get me wrong, we do provide a resource, a separate site, POG Strategies, that provides information on optimal playing strategies, mathematically optimal playing strategies, for the majority of online casino games. But we don't provide a lot of information about actually beating the games. The reason for this is that as we mediate disputes between operators and players, being seen to distribute information on how to beat operators would cause many operators to just walk away with from us without talking to us. We have to work quite a fine line so that we can support players as much as they can when they do get into genuine trouble.
Well, and actually, I have to say, I think that that is a much, much more valuable service to the players. Having someone who will step in and mediate disputes is way more valuable than teaching them how to play the games optimally. I mean, the smart players will figure out how to play optimally, and, you know, it's probably better that you're not teaching them.
That's exactly it. The truth is, there are many resources out there, or maybe many is an exaggeration, but there are already resources out there that do a fantastic job of teaching players how to play, how to beat games. The resource that really springs to mind to me would be Beating Bonuses. That was a very online-focused site. It's still in operation today, and it's still got some of the best resources out there for players. Wizard of Odds was also really good. The market didn't need another site teaching players how to play.
Yeah, but it desperately needs someone to mediate.
Yes. Yeah, I do agree. There are. Don't get me wrong. We were not the first site to mediate. There are other sites out there. If I thought they were getting everything right, we wouldn't have set up our own service. And I still think that there's room for more services actually helping players.
Now, will you get involved in... Well, let's talk about the state of online play in the United States and whether you will get involved in those kind of disputes.
Right. Our position with the United States is unusual. With New Jersey entering back into the market... Your listeners may not be aware of this, but the New Jersey authorities sent out a rather threatening letter to all the affiliate market, saying that any affiliate working with operators accepting US players would never be licensed if they continued doing so after a date at the end of October last year. We do not send US traffic to any operator. That said, we do deal with complaints against operators that accept US traffic. So I guess the short answer to your question is that yes, we will get involved and we'll fight just as hard for any US player that comes to us for help.
Now, New Jersey has legal online gambling. If you are in the state of New Jersey, will you send players to the New Jersey online casinos for people in New Jersey?
Technically, we could. However, I don't have a particularly high opinion of the operators that New Jersey have chosen to license. Their practices up till now, generally speaking, have not been as transparent as many more positive operators, in my opinion. As such, we don't work with those operators. So while we wouldn't discourage players from New Jersey choosing to play with a licensed New Jersey operator, we don't particularly want to work with those operators right now.
Uh-huh. For online casinos.
For online casinos, obviously. Anything I say just now is exclusively dealing with the online market.
Okay, so each online casino, there's some software products that help them run their operation. Mm-hmm. Which of the software products are good and which of them are bad?
That's quite a... It's a difficult question to answer. Outside of the US, you have a huge online gaming market with several very dominant software providers. The likes of Microgaming, Net Entertainment, Playtech. These operators appeal to different players. It really depends what the player's looking for, what they'll enjoy, where they'll find a game that they'll enjoy. You've also got to remember that the majority of the online market, player-wise, is looking for slots games. From what I hear inside the industry, what's working well right now is high variance but lower house edge or RTP games. So players are looking for big wins but still games where their money will last. In my opinion, Net Entertainment are leading the market in that field just now. Their games are original, they're creative. Graphically, they're very, very nice.
You know, when I played a lot online up until 2006 when the law changed in the United States.
Yeah.
And one of the changes that I see since then is it used to be that if you went to a casino, they only offered one software. You know, if you went to a casino, they just had microgaming software.
Yeah.
Or another casino had Playtech software. And
yeah.
Now it seems like the big players will have games from three or four different software companies.
Three or four isn't even covering it now. The up-and-coming operators are using half a dozen, a dozen different software providers at any one time at the moment. It's all about offering variety. The online market seems to really focus in on new. So by offering more software providers, you can provide more new games to your players. So yes, you're definitely seeing operators moving away from this single software model.
So back 10 years ago, for example, if you were playing a microgaming casino, they were pretty good about policing who they would license the software to. And, you know, I had very little problems with any casinos that used that software. Whereas there was a company called RTG that seemed like they were not very careful about who they would license the software to, and sometimes you would have problems with those operators. How does that work now when a casino is using, you know, many different companies for their software?
Again, this is a difficult question to generalize on. I have seen some microgaming operators who are engaged in very questionable activities. I've seen some, but that extends across all operators. I wouldn't like to single microgaming out on that. But you mentioned real-time gaming. What you're seeing here is a separation between the companies that have gone on to be publicly listed and are looking to develop a high-level corporate reputation, and those that maybe didn't have the same aspirations. Microgaming, at the point where the US withdrew from the online market, microgaming withdrew from the US market. At the point where the US withdrew from the online market, real-time gaming, RTG, continued to accept players from the US, ignoring this restriction. There's a whole other conversation to have about whether the US withdrawal from the online market was legitimate or in the best interests of US citizens. But that aside, the law is the law, and certain companies chose to move forward ignoring that law. Those companies that chose to do that, well, that speaks for itself. They're taking greater risks, and they are going to have higher overheads. They're going to have to find payment processors that charge them more. So where's this going to come from? Where's this extra money going to come from? Again, I wouldn't like to single out RTG on that one. There are a good number of software providers that have chosen to enter the US market without a license.
Yeah, it's a big problem in the US getting the money to and from the casinos, and
It's not so hard to get the money to the casinos.
No, it's never difficult to get it to them.
Well, sometimes it is. Sometimes your credit card won't, you know, they have to play this game of changing the name of the company that you're charging it to. But I mean, to me, it just became not worthwhile at all to deal with them. But so my question, though, what I'm really getting at is, let's say you're dealing with a company that has, you know, four or five different types of software, and you get in a dispute, is the software provider going to be of any help, or are you now really just dealing with whoever the owners of the casino at this point? Because
right. Well, I get that question again divides between U.S. and non-U.S.
Well, I'm speaking mostly non-U.S. because the really big players now are in the U.K.
For the non-U.S., in almost every situation, a player is going to have real difficulty getting in direct contact with the software provider. Not saying it's not possible. I know several instances where players have managed to do this. But your really big operators like Playtech and Microgaming won't tend to deal directly with players. At that point, what your options are a service like our own. I attend most of the major conferences. I have contacts within most of the big companies. If a big problem comes up that the software provider itself has to look at, I can get hold of somebody. I can certainly usually get somebody at the operator end, the casino end, to talk to us. Your other options are the regulator. Now, historically, regulation hasn't been everything that it should have been, but there's a definite shift going on in the on the online non-US market, where regulation is becoming more efficient. It's still not where it should be, but it's improving. If you look at groups like the UKGC and specifically, actually, massive improvements at the Malta Gaming Authority, they're now taking player complaints very seriously.
Well, that's good to hear.
So there are options there. There are ways to get your case heard. In the US, it's a very different story. The operators in the US are, by and large, essentially unregulated, other than the licensed operators in New Jersey and whatnot. They're by and large unregulated. There are a couple of US operators groups that are good. They will respond to complaints. They'll explain everything. They'll be clear, transparent. They'll deal with everything. But the vast majority of the operators accepting U.S. traffic will just simply ignore player complaints.
Does your site, thepog.com, have a blacklist?
Yes. We have a huge blacklist, would be the answer to that.
What color is it?
We list nearly 1,000 operators at the moment. That will breach 1,000 in the next few weeks. Out of those 1,000 operators, 80 to 90% fail to qualify to receive links from us, to receive any traffic from us. The rest end up in one of two categories, and that is either not recommended or blacklisted. Blacklisted means that they've engaged in some practice that's so heinous that that we want absolutely nothing to do with the operator. Examples of this would be cheating software. We've conducted statistical analysis of game results at a few software brands now that have demonstrated that the software has been non-random. Falsely claiming to hold licenses they don't have, changing terms and conditions after a win to justify not paying. These sort of things will get you onto the blacklist. Our not recommended list is for more general, refused to discuss player complaints. It's practices that we don't want to be associated with, but maybe aren't as negative as the blacklisted properties.
If I'm a sports bettor and I'm really good, which is not the case at all, but let's say I was really good and this site decided I was too good. They paid off my past bets, but 86 me cut me off from making any future bets. Is cutting players off a reason to be blacklisted or not recommended?
That might not even get you not recommended, if I'm totally honest about it. You're talking about a private business. They are within their rights to say, we don't want your custom anymore. That said, if the operator had said, you're too good, and this is relatively common, you're too good for us and we're not paying that win, that's a totally different story. The moment that they refused to pay your win, they accepted the bet and refused to pay your win when you won, that would get them not recommended. If they simply say, after paying you, you're too good for us, you need to go somewhere else, they're within their rights to do that.
You know, one of the problems that comes up a lot is, you know, in the United States, we call it reading the fine print. The terms and conditions of these sites have, on many of them, have become so complicated that I would think, the vast majority of people, they don't read the rules. You know, they sign up, they click the box that says, yes, I agree to everything. But it's so easy to run afoul of the terms and conditions. And have you is there a movement by you guys to try to tell them you got to make this easier for people to understand? Or
unfortunately, as long as the market is driven towards bonuses, it's not going to be. There is no simple way of cutting those terms back. There is a movement online right now, and I quite support it, to suggest that online operators should be rewarding players more like offline operators, with comp points and various rewards after play. The pre-play bonus creates massive opportunities for anybody who is knowledgeable to exploit the casino. And unfortunately, I don't have a problem personally with smart players doing that, but unfortunately, given the anonymous interaction between the casino and the computer that the player is playing at, many, many players engage in what's known as multi-accounting, where they sign up under many different names to claim the same bonus multiple times.
Imagine. This,
sorry, on you go.
Yeah, Richard just cannot imagine anybody ever doing that.
It results in operators taking huge losses from what is technically, having taken legal advice on this, technically an illegal practice. It's unlike advantage play, which is playing within the rules, this would be considered grey area fraud.
Even if they're all real people?
Even if they're real people. If you are renting the ID off somebody else, you are still... Wait, let me be clear. I've taken legal advice, but this is just the advice I've been given. I'm in no way qualified to advise your listeners as to the legal status of this. But the advice I've heard is that even if it is friends and family, if you are playing under somebody else's name, you are breaking the law. Now, could you be charged with it? It would be very, very difficult to charge you with it. Because all it needs is the account holder to say they did it. But you are technically breaking the law.
There was a poker player in the UK a couple of years back who was, and I think he has a World Series bracelet. Mm-hmm. But he was arrested because he was caught cheating at online poker by setting up multiple accounts. And it was the players, again, who, you know, it's always the players who end up catching these guys because the casino operators seem to be really horrible at this. But anyway, the players figured out the guy was cheating. And this guy and his father had set up multiple accounts. And he would fill, you know, six players that were all him at a nine-seat table. And they had many charges of money laundering and identity theft and all kinds of charges. And I think he ended up doing some time, if I'm not mistaken.
That wouldn't surprise me. But the difference in that specific instance is that by setting up multiple accounts at the same table, you're allowing yourself to share information with each of your accounts. And you're giving yourself a massive advantage over the other players. The difference with multi-accounting at casinos, you're not gaining any extra information. You're just allowing yourself to exploit the same advantage over and over again. A good example would be, say you find a flashing dealer, one you can hold card. What happens if you could play the same hand seven times every time? You're multiplying your advantage. You're increasing it exponentially.
I think the other reason the police got involved is he was cheating other players, as opposed to, you know.
It was cheating other players. Operators are expected to protect themselves. Players. Cheating other players, that's a different level.
Yeah. Do you think that the multi-accounting, that there's a difference if you were multi-account? Because there are many people who multi-account in order to bet sports, just to get more money bet on a game. Do you think that they react differently to that than they do to a player who multi-accounts to go after bonuses?
Definitely. Going after bonuses, there is no upside. The bottom line for the operator is that these players running multiple accounts will only play when they have a bonus. That's the end of it. The operator will never have an advantage over these players. The best operators have sharp security departments who can spot unnatural associations between accounts. Don't want to go into how that's done, but there are ways of detecting unnatural similarities between accounts and shut that down. In the sportsbook sector, it's far more heuristic. Are you actually a good player? Ultimately, while the player wins at the long run,
It takes longer to see that the player has an advantage.
That's exactly it. They're not getting the kind of churn through that multi-accounting gets. You've also got to remember that when you're looking at multi-accounting in the modern era, there are, you can use what's known as a bot. So rather than playing yourself, you could play blackjack with a computer tool and walk away. Whereas sports betting requires analysis of every bet.
Right.
You mentioned earlier that you were an affiliate site.
Yes.
What is an affiliate site, and what makes your site different from the other affiliate sites out there?
Oh, this is a can of worms.
Oh, well, I don't like worms.
Well, most people don't like affiliates, and for good reason. An affiliate site is one that advertises and directs traffic to online casino operators. Technically speaking, it's not just casino operators and it's not just gambling operators. You could be an Amazon affiliate if you advertise products for Amazon. The benefit that the affiliate gets out of this is that they get a cut of any profit made by the site that you refer the customer to. What makes us different to other affiliates? The vast majority of the affiliate market, when you see a top 10 casino operators listed, those operators are not the best operators for players. It's that simple. Those operators are the best operators for the affiliate site. They are the operators that are paying the affiliate the most to advertise them. At the POG, we've really worked very, very hard to ensure that any financial relationship between us and the operator does not impact the placement of the operator. The reviews are solely based on how well the operator treats players. To the degree I've been told at several conferences recently that I must be mental to operate the site like that. The bottom line is, we look at it as if we provide the best operators for the player's more likely to hang around. The player hangs around, we make more money. So rather than making our money up front at the start, we look at it as providing a quality service. And that's how we'll make our money in the long run.
Makes sense.
All right. So I'm an online player. A casino has stiffed me, has not paid my win.
Right.
I come to you and say, I want your help to collect. What kind of mediation service do you do, and how much have you recovered?
Well, what we do is, when a player approaches us, we ask them to submit a complaint via our built-in system. Once we have the player's complaint and we have all their details, we'll contact the operator. And we will keep contacting the operator for weeks afterwards. Good operators will immediately get back in contact with us because they know our system and they wouldn't want a negative report on our site. Bad operators will ignore us. So, to be completely transparent about this, I can't guarantee in every situation that we can help you. However, in the last 4 years, we've managed about 500 complaints for various players, and we've returned over $500,000 to players. So your average player complaint is worth about $1,000.
How often does it happen that I say this casino has stiffed me, and you look into it and you find out that my complaint is bogus and the casino has done nothing wrong? Does that happen very often?
Yes. If I'm honest about it, it does.
I would rather you are honest, actually.
Yep. You look at two different scenarios here. One scenario is what we were discussing earlier, which is multi-accounters. who are trying to use bad press to crowbar an operator into paying them when they don't deserve it. That's about, it's actually dropped off recently, but it was about 1 in 3 complaints. Other than that, you have players who, and this goes back to your question earlier about the complexity of terms and conditions. Players who haven't read the terms and conditions properly and who have broken the rules. Now, at that point, it becomes a discussion with the operator about whether the operator believes that the player did this intentionally and is just trying to run the system. That does happen. Or whether this has been an accident by a player who genuinely just has made a mistake.
Yeah, my experience is that the rules are not applied consistently. You know, they sometimes they choose to enforce certain rules and sometimes they don't.
And that comes down to perception. Let me give you a couple of an example here of how we would manage this. A common rule that is used just about everywhere now is a maximum bet when playing with bonuses. Variance is bad for the casino. They don't want you placing high variance bets.
Boy, it took them a lot of years to learn that.
Oh, it really did. I mean, Arnold Snyder was talking about that in the late 90s, early 2000s. Took them a lot of years to realize that. So now most of the time when you're playing with a bonus, there is a maximum allowed bet. I have seen a couple of instances where an operator has allowed players that they claim are VIP players to exceed this maximum allowed bet. Over hundreds of deposits, hundreds of sessions, the player has been allowed to exceed the maximum bet and been paid out while they were winning small. Then when they hit a big win, I have seen the operator turn around and say, no, we're not paying that. These exceeded the maximum bet. These cases have been ruled in favor of the player.
You can't
change the rules halfway through. It has to be a consistent application. If they've broken the rules before, you need to either refund all the losses previously, void all the transactions previously, or you need to pay this one and say they can't do that again. It's not fair to have it both ways where they allow it as long as it's a loss and then seize it as soon as there's a big one.
Right. One of the problems now, too, is I'm sure you've run into this. There are a number of these casinos that you have a big win and, you know, suddenly the casino says, well, you're only allowed to cash out £2,000 a month. And so it's going to take you, you know, 4 years to cash out your money. Are you running into a lot of those kind of complaints?
We do run into some of them. It's far more common with operators that accept US players.
Yeah, but even in the UK, like, for example, Golden Palace, just to rag on a particular casino.
Oh, you don't want to start talking about Golden Palace.
Even the ones that are in the UK that are not taking US players, you know,
most operators will set a reasonable. Hey, the best financed operators will pay out any win instantly, excluding progressive jackpots where they need to receive the payment from the network provider before they pay out. The majority of the market will set out a limit, and it will be reasonable, £5,000 or £10,000 a month. Unless you're a genuine high roller or you're playing for a progressive jackpot, generally you're not going to win so much that it's going to take you years to get that sort of cash out. If you're a genuine high roller, most of the quality operators will come to some sort of agreement with you about the maximum you can withdraw. Where it becomes problematic...
If they're going to offer a slot machine where the jackpot is, you know, 200,000 pounds, well, if they're not willing to pay it out, they ought to put a sign, you know, win 200,000 pounds, but it's going to take you 2 years to collect it. You know,
right.
That should be displayed prominently.
That's a big issue that we deal with a lot, not specifically in terms of complaints, but it automatically justifies not recommended status. What you're talking about there would tend generally be progressive jackpots. Where an operator refuses or tries to install set up a system that requires installments on a progressive jackpot, they are behaving in an unethical fashion. They receive, it may take them a few weeks to get it through from the network provider, but they will receive the full payment from the network provider once that jackpot's been won. If they're telling the player that they can't pay that out in one go, they're lying. What they're looking to do is create a situation where the player plays back most of the win before they get a chance to withdraw it. So that practice, the second a progressive jackpot's involved, we have a position that the player should be paid as soon as the casino is paid. If not, they're automatically not recommended. What I would say, I'm moving this a step to the side here, is a bigger concern to me would be the same sort of practice on non-progressive payments, and this happens frequently for US players, where just recently we've just finished dealing with a complaint where a player from the US won 20,000 euros and the operator turned around to them and said, yep, we're only going to pay out 500 euros a month. And if you don't keep playing, we're going to reduce that to 100 euros a month.
Uh-huh. And if you don't keep losing, it's going to be that, 1 euro a month.
That's exactly it. And this was it. We got involved. This would have taken, I think it was somewhere around, if they'd actually dropped it to 100 euros a month, this would have taken approximately 15 years for the player to receive payment. The chances of this operator still being in business in 15 years are next to nothing, in my opinion.
Uh-huh.
We got involved. We managed to hold the operator to the 500 euros a month for about a year, at which point they missed a payment, and we went back to them and said, look, you've missed a payment now. You are doing this to try and pressure the player into playing. And the player, clearly, this hasn't worked because they're not playing anymore with you. In fact, they're really angry with you. And our report on this is going to say just that at the end. At which point, they moved up the payment schedule to 500 euros a week. Now, that's still not great. It still took 2 years overall to pay the player. But that's a massive amount better than 15 years.
Yeah.
The best advice I can give you if you get into that situation is to hassle the operator. Don't be rude. Don't be aggressive. Don't shout at them. Do not swear at them. Do not threaten them. If you do this, you will get, they'll just stop talking to you. But if you phone up every day, if you email every day, if you go in their live chat and just hassle them, Eventually, this operator is going to decide you are more hassle than it's worth, and they are just going to pay you to get rid of you. And obviously, after that, never deposit with that operator again.
Yeah.
If I have a $5,000 claim against an online casino, and I decide to use your services, and you are successful in getting me the $5,000 back,
yeah.
What kind of commission are we talking about?
Zero. As I described earlier, we function as an affiliate service. We make our money by advertising operators. We have absolutely no interest in taking any fees from players for helping them. Don't get me wrong, I've been offered in the past, and every single time we've turned it down. It's not something we're interested in doing. If we started accepting payments from players, operators would view us as biased towards a player.
Now, another thing that operators used to pull is they would claim that you were part of a syndicate because there were many players kind of playing in a similar fashion. And they would use that as an excuse to not pay people. Is that still a thing?
Yes, it is. The problem with these types of cases are, this is what we were describing as multi-accounting earlier. Once we go down into that level, I can't describe exactly how these groups are getting caught, because it would essentially educate people as to how to avoid getting caught in the future. When it comes to reviewing the syndicate multi-accounting sort of cases, have there been instances where we have reviewed the case and found that the operator doesn't have enough evidence to support their claim? Absolutely. There definitely have. There's been a good number of cases where we've turned around to operators and said,
well, in many cases, it really is not multi-accounting. It really is somebody discovers a loophole or a game that's exploitable, and there are a bunch of players who are all playing the same game because it's exploitable. But they're not. It's not multi-accounting.
You're absolutely right on that instance. I'm struggling to answer this question because there's a limited amount I can say.
Okay, but it is still a danger.
Having dealt with a lot of these cases myself, I have seen how they have been represented on the forums and message boards afterwards. And the players involved quite often use the fact that my hands are tied in how much I can say to suggest that they haven't been doing something wrong. It's, if you look at these cases individually, certainly if it was just as simple as, oh, a good advantage and lots of players played that, then you're absolutely right. There's no way we would favour the casino in that situation. If there are lots of other factors connecting these players, and this is where I can't really go into further detail.
No, that's fine.
As to what those factors are. If there's lots of other factors connecting these players, then it becomes far more questionable that this is just coincidence or a lot of players happening to target the same bonus.
How often does it happen, like in sports betting, where somebody is calling up the casino to make a bet that it is taped, but there is really ambiguity as to what the bet was? And so one side said it was something, and the other side said it was something else, and you listen to the tape, and you just, wow, I can't, da da da, I can't decide either way. Does that ever happen?
If I'm honest about that, really, no. And that could be that we focus more on the casino market than the sportsbook market, though we do accept complaints against sportsbooks. I'm yet to experience a complaint where both parties are claiming different things about one bet.
We're almost out of time. I did want to get to one thing about your site. A minor complaint. You have some great interviews on your site, but they're kind of hard to find.
They absolutely are. We are in the process. In the last 6 months, we've launched two new sites, Pog Strategies and Pog Webmasters, comprising about 500,000 words and content, which has been my big focus for the last 18 months. Now that they're up and running, we're moving back to the POG itself, which will receive a redesign in the next 6 months, and these sort of articles are going to gain far more prominent placement, because I do agree the interview articles we have on site are some of the most interesting online.
Very good. Now I know one just fascinating interview with a guy named Bob Dancer. Is there one?
I did see that when I was going through the interviews that you were out there.
I suspect that's one of the minor ones. But anyway, we've been talking to Duncan at thepog.com. Thank you very much, Duncan. It was very interesting. We'll be talking to you in the future.
I certainly hope so. There's plenty more to talk about.
Very good. We have three sponsors, and we're not going into great detail as to what they're doing this week because we don't know when this program is going to air. But the South Point has more than 10,000 games, returning more than 99%. Palms has drawings every week, and they have regularly gift cards that you can get in addition to the points. And videopoker.com is the best place to play lots of games.
And you can get the show delivered to you while you sleep every week. You can sign up for that at iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, or my site, richardmunchkin.com. We welcome your questions. You can send those to us at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com or facebook.com/gamblingwithanedge, or you can tweet them at me at RWM21. For an archive of all of the old shows, you can find those at bobdancer.com.
All right. Thank you, Duncan from the POG. Thank you, Richard. Go out and hit lots of royal flushes, everybody. Good day.
You've been listening to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin. Subscribe to the show in iTunes, and episodes will be delivered to you automatically every week. Archived versions of past shows may be found at bobdancer.com and richardmunchkin.com. We welcome emails at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin are both available on Facebook and welcome your questions. The sponsors for the show are the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa, the M Resort, the Palms Casino Resort, and the website videopoker.com. Join us again next week for another Gambling with an Edge.
Views and opinions expressed on this program were those of the hosts and guests and did not necessarily reflect those of Vegas All Net Radio, its affiliates, or its parent company.